Ahoy, mateys, and welcome to the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Recommendation Podcast, your monthly port of call for anime reviews and recommendations that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, First Mate Sidekick, and with me, as always, is Captain Spike.
Konbanwa!
Today is January 21st, 2017, and this is Anime Buoy Podcast Episode 18, Winter 2017 Anime Preview. Welcome once again, our beautiful and lovely listeners, to another episode of the AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Recommendation Podcast.
AnimeBuoy.org Anime Fan Recommendation Podcast.
We know we've been gone for a while, but we're really excited to be back. We've got a great listing of shows that we're excited to talk about over the next few months, and we thought we'd kick it off by this week talking about the most promising anime from the new winter 2017 season and a couple of other ones we've checked out and kind of give you our thoughts about what is currently airing in Japan.
And, you know, obviously it goes without saying, first off, we're trying something a little new for this show. Slaggy's going to be hosting it. And rather than always focusing on classic shows that are left of center, we also want to talk about stuff that we're watching now and really excited about. That does, of course, come with the bullet that most of these shows we've only seen like two episodes of because that's all that has aired so far. If they fail to pan out into good shows, we're super sorry.
Yeah.
But there's stuff that we feel is really promising and fun so far.
Definitely. So with that, let's buckle in and get this party started.
All right.
So the first one I want to talk about is more of a short form. I say that because it's not like 2-3 minute short form, but they are 10 minute episodes. So this is Koro Sensei Quest, which is, as you might guess, a spinoff of the Assassination Classroom series. So this is an action comedy, very much like a gag anime, sort of short form anime that is a chibi version of Assassination Classroom, basically.
Chibi.
Sorry about it. That is set in a JRPG. So in this interpretation of the Assassination Classroom, characters and story, they are a group of level one characters that have different bugs and glitches. And Koro Sensei is the big bad, and he's trying to level them up so that they'll be able to defeat him. This, of course, as with regular Assassination Classroom, was done by Studio Lerche and features original creative staff such as Yusei Matsui-san, Jo Aoto-san and Kizuku Watanabe-san. And, you know, so really, you know, definitely keeping that, core staff from original Assassination Classroom. It is being simulcast on Crunchyroll on Thursdays at 8:40 a.m. rather, Pacific time. So you can do the math for time zones if you live otherwise. So Captain Spike, what do you think of Koro Sensei Quest so far?
I think it is a ton of fun. The thing that I really like about it is, you know, that sort of 8-bit era JRPG theming, coming up with like text bubbles during like confrontational scenes or as a part of gags more often than not. Also coming out in like the closing song, which is like a chiptune J-pop song. I really love the way that theming sort of pulls it together and takes this alternate take on Assassination Classroom and really kicks it up to another level of like interesting and funny and entertaining.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what's really cool about it too is that you don't need to have seen original Assassination Classroom to enjoy it, but it definitely does enhance it. And kind of the caveat that I didn't mention is that there are a lot of anime airing, I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a handful of, second seasons or continuing from the fall season animes. So we're trying to mostly focus on things that are brand new airing this winter season. So that being said, definitely highly recommended, whether or not you do have prior experience with Koro Sensei.
Indeed. I absolutely think that, you know, having knowledge of Assassination Classroom does enhance this series, of course, but I think that even without any knowledge of Assassination Classroom, this would still be funny.
Yeah. And, you know, at 10 minutes a pop, definitely something just light and fun and fluffy to put on when you've got a few minutes and want some chuckles.
Indeed. And you mentioned Crunchyroll, right?
Yes, Crunchyroll.
Awesome.
And I believe that the Funimation streaming service will be having it. I don't know, because I don't subscribe to that personally, but a dub is coming. We do know.
Yeah,
that.
It'll be premiering this past Wednesday, actually.
Oh, for the dub?
For the dub, yeah.
Oh, that's excellent.
Well, they've been doing a lot of that, where like Yuri on Ice, even, they were simul dubbing. So
yeah, and I've heard
dub episodes were coming out as it was going up in Japanese.
Yeah, I've heard the simul dub of Yuri on Ice was pretty decent too.
I've heard that. I haven't really watched it. Dubs aren't really my thing, but I do think that's really cool.
Yeah. The next one we'd like to talk about is Interviews with Monster Girls. This is a supernatural school life anime that takes place in an age where demi-humans, more casually known as demi, have slowly started to become accepted into human society. And it features Tetsuo Takahashi, who is a biology teacher who ends up teaching three such demi, hoping to understand more about them while also managing to catch their attention. This is a project from A1 Pictures. It features art direction by Katsufumi Haruyu-san, who has been featured in a wide variety of things. Art director on Cardcaptor Sakura, background art on things as diverse as the Akira movie, Detective Conan, Eureka 7, art director on Macross Plus, art director on the Popo La Croix TV series. So just a very wide range of credits. Character design coming from Tetsuya Kawakami-san. A wide variety here too. Work on the Beyblade series, doing key animation on Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. Animation director on the Idolmaster TV series. Sakura Wars, doing some key animation. Sword Art Online and Sword Art Online 2, Wolf's Reign. So, you know, a lot of very notable stuff. Inuyasha, even. And the series composition is by Takao Yoshioka-san, who's done work on things such as Demon King Daimao-san. Or, sorry, I don't know why I called him Daimao-san. I guess he'd be more of a Daimao-sama anyway. Elfman Lied.
Vagnaria was a big one, I think.
Yeah. A little bit less than
Sekire. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, it's still a lot of really interesting stuff, including the also recent Magical Girl Raising Project, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so a little less diverse than, ranging backwards than the other two, but still some notable stuff. Captain Spike, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this series that is simulcast on Crunchyroll, Saturdays at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, you know, I was really worried that this was going to turn into like a hentai, like ero type show, a big focus on Pantsu. I was really happily surprised that it isn't. It definitely starts off playing into the tropes of, you know, sort of the like harem style anime.
Yeah, like, oh, sensei.
But at least in the first two episodes, which we reviewed before recording this, I did not find it to play out that way at all. Instead, it was like a very sort of sweet and kind of quiet, more slice of life type coming of age story. But coming of age for these monster girls, particularly the Dullahan-chan, was everything for me. And I found it to be a really sweet show that I'm really excited to see more of.
Yeah, it has a lot of heart, and that's what surprised me about it. Especially, like you said, it could very easily have been like hentai, like, oh, teacher, you know, but it's just really cute and just really fun and light so far. Especially like you said with the Dullahan character, you know, she carries her head around, has this big flame coming out of her head as Dullahan does, and just like the imagery of it is just hilarious. But she's just like, you know, she's just a normal girl otherwise, and you know, she wants to go on a date, and you know, she has like the same normal worries that a normal girl would have, except like, oh, except, you know, her head has to be carried around. So it's just very, very cute, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I'm definitely on board for watching this one, and can't wait to see how the rest of the series turns out. And you know, definitely one that I'm already hoping will become a multi-season anime. Any other thoughts before we move on?
I don't think so. I just really like this show. I'm really excited to see more, and I hope people give it a chance. I know what it looks like. So far, at least, it is not that.
Yeah, and I have to say that Takahashi Sensei is pretty easy on the eyes. Kind of almost a little bit of a Bara character design, but anyway, moving on from that, another show where I would say I know know what it looks like, but give it a chance. This is Fuka, which is a slice of life romance sort of show, which very quickly is moving into also a music band anime. I don't know if there's a special name for that genre, but, you know, definitely having a big theme of music in there. The premise of this show is that Yu Haruna has transferred to a school in Tokyo to live with his sisters after his parents moved to America. And he is an introvert and a very socially awkward young man who basically is addicted to Twitter. And he's kind of, you know, wandering around town, glued to his smartphone, ends up crashing into a kind of interesting girl named Fuka Akitsuki-san. And initially there's some like kind of pantsu sort of thing, but it actually ends up, you know, she's kind of this quirky girl who's kind of trying to figure out, you know, what her passion in life is going to be. She really loves music and is kind of just exploring, like, you know, their budding friendship or relationship. This is from Studio Diomedea, which used to be Studio Barcelona, I believe. The director is Keizuo Kusakawa-san, who has been involved in things such as Elf and Lied, did an episode director of Bleach. Any other ones here that are notable credits for you, Captain Spike?
No, actually, you know, I wasn't super familiar with a lot of the creatives on this show, which is interesting because, I mean, it's beautifully put together. I think it's a really attractive show in terms of its styling. I really like this show a lot. It reminds me a lot of Nana, which,
yeah,
you know, again, is the sort of thing where I'm really surprised that I don't know, you know, the names of the people who put this together. Like,
right.
I'm not really familiar with them, but it's a show where I find myself really captivated and interested in where it's moving forward.
Yeah, character design is from Yoshino Honda, and she, one of her notable credits is that she did she was animation director on an episode of Madoka Magica. So
ooh,
that's definitely the big claim to fame there. But yeah, again, a lot of stuff that I'm not personally as familiar with, but you know, like you said, the character design I think is really, really strong. You know, I've seen a recent trend of, you know, in the anime fandom of kind of feeling like animation work and character design work has tended to be sloppy in the past few years. I don't know if I entirely agree, but I feel like the, you know, attention to the art direction in the show is, like, you know, very strong. This airs simulcast on Crunchyroll Fridays at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time.
This show, I also want to give big ups to the fact that it has an out gay high school character.
Yeah, in
which
the second
I think
episode
is awesome.
Yu thinks that Fuka is having like crush drama with this young man, but she ends up being like, no, he doesn't, or he's like, no, I'm not interested in girls. And he's like, what? And it's kind of funny. We were talking about after the second episode, you know, that a lot of the things that we typically expect to be kind of the anxieties and angst of the female characters in a slice of life or a romance show are more experienced by Yu-san in this show, or Yu-kun, I guess it would be, because he's a, you know, high school boy. And so it's really funny to see him kind of caught up in this love triangle. He and Fuka are both fans of a pop star who is an old childhood friend of Yu's, and so there's, you know, definitely a love triangle element already in play. I don't know what you would say, Captain Spike, but I feel like the second episode definitely solidified this for me as one that had, oh, an interesting first episode, to one I definitely want to be checking out the rest of the series.
Well, and that's actually why, you know, we had kind of talked about recording this episode last weekend, and I insisted I'd prefer to wait until this weekend so that we could see second episodes of these shows. And Fuka, I think, is the one that most benefited from that. You know, the thing with Fuka, and I liked it, but that first episode, it was sort of like a slice of life romance drama, but it didn't have any particular obvious goal or like, where is this going? It was just like an interesting piece, but without a whole lot of direction. And that direction does turn up in the second episode. You and I, we had a conversation about what direction did we think this show was going to go in after the first one, and all of the directions we thought it was going to go in were just based on the visuals of the opening, nothing to do with the actual content of the episode.
Right.
So, I would agree with you that the second episode was the one where it was like, yeah, I fully intend on watching this entire series, and I hope it remains as strong as the first two episodes have been.
Yeah, something I think that it does really well that not every slice of life teen high school romance anime does is that it seems really relatable to me. You know, especially like, you know, Fuka is trying to kind of figure out what her passion is. In both of the episodes, the captain of the track team is like, oh, you've got to you know, join the track team, and she's kind of like, no, I don't want to. She's kind of like what, you know, the film trope of the manic pixie dream girl, kind of like a little bit of a quirky
girl. And you had said that, and I think that is more relevant in the first episode than it is in the second. In the second episode, things start going a little bit more like, no, she's just a main character and she has some quirks, but it's less like she is a girl that exists just as an object of attraction by virtue of being different from all the other girls. Which is, to me, sort of the core of that trope, is that she's sort of othered as an object of desire, and I don't think that that fits in the second episode at all.
Yeah, and so, like, I mean, but she's definitely, you know, she's kind of like a, she doesn't, she's not kind of like a, oh, you know, which is, she's not like, like, you know, Moe, which is, you know, she's kind of like a brash and, you know, kind of a free spirit, so to speak. So something else that's kind of cool is that if you are familiar with the manga and anime Suzuka, which was from about 10 years ago or so, this is actually a spinoff. The Suzuka was also by the same mangaka, Koji Seo, and that was about a young man who also moves to Tokyo and becomes a track and field star. So, and that young man is Yamato Akitsuki, who is Fuka's father. So, I mean, I didn't know that until after I had seen the first episode of Fuka. It makes me definitely want to check out Suzuka, but I would say you definitely don't need that background. At least, you know, I enjoy it not knowing really much about Suzuka.
Yeah,
myself.
Well, I think it's very similar to the connection between Neighborhood Stories and Paradise Kiss.
Right,
where
right.
If you're familiar with...
That's a great comparison.
If you're familiar with Neighborhood Stories, then, you know, a couple of the relationships in Paradise Kiss have a little more value and a little more meaning, but it is not at all required to get so much out of Paradise Kiss. And I'm thinking that that's probably going to hold true for Fuka as well.
And apparently it also ties in, I think, a little more loosely to the manga and OVA Kimi no Iru Machi, translated as A Town Where You Live.
All right. Now that I did not know.
Again, I think it's just kind of a little bit like less tied in, but it's still kind of in the same universe. So I always think that's cool when mangaka do stuff like that. You know, just kind of makes the world a little bigger. But anyway, definitely, I would say this is the biggest surprise, really the biggest surprise of all the ones we're going to talk about today. The one that I didn't expect to be as invested in as I am. What would you say?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm very invested already, and I wouldn't have expected to be.
All right, moving on. The last one that gets our prime recommendation is one that actually is a little bit more difficult to watch. It will be available on Netflix after the first half season airs, but for now, the only way to really get a hold of it is fan subs. And this is one of the ones that was the most anticipated for us, at least, I think, but also for a lot of people, and that is Little Witch Academia. This is a fantasy and, like, literally magical girl, but, you know, not really, like, you know, magical girl as you would think, like Sailor Moon, but they are magical girls because it focuses on Ako Kagari, an ordinary girl from Japan who joins the renowned witch academy for witch girls, Luna Nova Academy. She was inspired by the magical Festa show by a witch named Shiny Chariot when she was a little girl, and she was so inspired by Shiny Chariot that she had this dream to someday, you know, go to Luna Nova Academy, and kind of as once she finally gets there, finds that being a witch isn't as easy as she thought it would be, and also that Shiny Chariot is kind of not really looked upon very highly at Luna Nova, so she's very impressionable and kind of, you know, despite the haters, clings to the motto of Shiny Chariot, never forget, a believing heart is your magic. So this, of course, was, was it an OVA that was the original one? And then there were also some movies as well.
Yeah, it was OVA.
And, you know, the reason why a lot of people were hyped about this is the latest from Studio Trigger, who, you know, at this point kind of needs no introduction. Gurren Lagann and Kill
well,
a Kill.
You're going to do it anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, but anyway, you know, Gurren Lagann, Kill a Kill, both, you know, very, very huge successes. And a lot of the creative staff, you know, coming from that as well. We have...
Well, and another part of why this was a big deal is that this was one of the first big anime Kickstarters in Japan, was for that Little Witch Academy, The Enchanted Parade, which released in Japan October 9th, 2015. You can actually view it in North America on Netflix, but the important thing to recall is that the original features are sort of not canon for the TV series, sort of in a very Tenchi Muyo style way.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, continue?
I'm just saying, you know, given that it's Trigger, you know, we've got some really notable people involved here. The director is Yo Yoshinari-san, and now, I mean, his range of credits, you know, goes all the way back to his work with Gainax. So, I mean, he did key animation, art layout, and storyboarding for FLCL. He was on His and Her Circumstances, which, you know, you also would probably know as Karikano. He even did some things like on Idolmaster, but also, of course, Kill la Kill, doing animation direction and key animation storyboarding. Gurren Lagann, of course, did some work on the Mass Effect Paragon Lost movie, and even all the way back to Evangelion, Panty and Stocking, did some work on Pokemon the movie Black and White with the Victini and Reshiram, Victini and Zekrom, Macross 2 the movie, Tokyo Babylon. I mean, probably one of the most impressive resumes, I guess you could say, that we've talked about so far. One of the One Piece movies. So, I mean, lots of recognizable work here, but as far as I know, this is kind of his first time really as a main director, so this is kind of like his first really big time at the helm, as far as I'm familiar with. There's also Michiru Shimada-san, who is doing the series composition, and she has a really wide range. I mean, she did scripts for Dr. Slump, original Dragon Ball, and One Piece, You're Under Arrest, so like really a veteran, and you know, just bringing a lot of experience. In character design, coming from Shuhei Honda-san, maybe a little less than the other two who have, you know, like really long careers, but animation director for Kill la Kill on a lot of the episodes, doing some key animation on One Punch Man, in between work on Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt, doing some work on Sword Art Online, Tiger and Bunny in the movie, The Beginning, also Idolmaster. A lot of people seem to be involved in the Idolmaster this season. Gintama, the movie. So, you know, definitely some things you've heard of. Captain Spike, tell me your thoughts about Little Witch Academia.
Well, I really like it. It sort of plays as like a shoujo or a maho shoujo take on like Harry Potter as a concept.
Yeah, and I ain't even mad.
The one negative I will say, and this is something that, you know, I had also remarked about Fuka, is that even by the end of the second episode of Academia, I'm still not sure where the story is going. We don't really have like a clear antagonist yet or anything, and obviously you don't really need something like that all the time for every narrative, but in this case, I would like a little more direction. That having been said, I'm a big fan of the visual style. I'm really enjoying the animation quality.
Mm-hmm. The characters are just really cute. And
they are.
Fun.
And you know, so far I'm very interested in this world.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I watched the OVAs and I wasn't really into it.
Same here.
So it's interesting that, you know, this new take on the characterizations, and they act different, and I actually think it works a lot more. Yeah.
Something else to keep in mind is that, as far as I know, the other ones are only 12, 13 episodes. I don't know exact numbers. Koro-sensei might be a little bit more, but that's kind of a little bit different. This is a 26 episode season. I don't want to say series, I guess, we can't confirm whether there'll be a second actual series or season, but I guess maybe giving a little bit more room to breathe. But the funny thing is, we were talking about this, that, and something we've been talking about lately a lot is that, you know, just in our own conversations about anime, Captain Spike and I, is that 12, 13 episodes is really the norm these days. Whereas, you know, when we were growing up in the 90s, 26 episodes was the standard. And
you say growing up in the 90s, but I'm like, there were times in the 90s that I was an adult.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know, our more formative anime years, although formative anime years were blah, 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 fifth generation fan subtapes. We know.
Rude.
I'm just joking. jealous, but, you know, I mean, during the 90s, where, you know, a lot of the classic anime that we think of from our younger years, our young adulthood or adolescence, 26 was the norm. And so it's really interesting. For me, I've really come to find 12, 13 is my sweet spot now, whereas I used to think, oh, that's really short. But I think it's, so it's interesting that you say that it hasn't really picked up its pace yet, because I guess we've kind of become so used to that shorter pace.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, you know, definitely recommended once, as far as we can say right now, once it's available on Netflix. If you have a means of getting a fan sub, you know, definitely enjoyable. So those were our four main recommendations. And now there's so much new anime each season that to cover everything just would not be feasible. We did want to touch very quickly on five other shows that we, either myself or both of us, had checked out. Just give you quick thoughts on why they aren't personally things that we're as invested in. The first one we want to talk about is Gabriel Dropout. It's about a graduate of like a Angel Academy who was a like top student, but then she comes to Earth to spread her angelic mission, ends up becoming addicted to MMOs, and is a lazy witch. I'm not a witch, a lazy angel who would rather just be binging on MMOs than doing angelic deeds. And there's like demons who are like trying to be demonic but are actually like bad at being evil. It was funny, but you know, didn't really catch my attention as much as something that I want to prioritize watching. What about you?
Yeah, this is another instance where I'm not really sure what the point is. I watched it, I laughed a little bit, but like it didn't feel like it was a show that necessarily had anything to say, and I found the humor a little stale. I'll probably watch another couple episodes and see if it picks up, but
yeah,
despite the fact that this was a show that had a fair amount of hype leading into the season, it did not impress.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like something that, at least for the first episode, could have been almost a standalone, almost Dragon Half-esque, in the way that Dragon Half is just like, what, two episodes?
Yeah.
It kind of like, you know, I don't really...
Interesting aside, the Dragon Half manga is finally coming out localized.
Oh my god, who would have thought? Anyway, moving on, there's Eld Live, which is kind of primed to be, you know, as far as the buzz goes, the big shonen anime this season. It's about a boy who's got like voices in his head, and he's kind of like shunned because he's always talking to himself. And it turns out he has some alien being living inside him that is this voice, and he is scouted to be a Galactic Police member. He's like a middle school boy, and there's like kind of like this space police force that solves crimes of various aliens. And so like in the first episode, it's his big-breasted teacher who ends up being this alien. For me, you know, I could definitely see where it would be, where it's something that was going to be really popular. I guess, I don't know. I just guess I've kind of, I mean, I'm a 32-year-old man. I'm like, I guess I've kind of outgrown shonen anime. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be very popular because shonen anime is, you know, always popular. There's always an audience for, you know, shonen anime. I mean, that being said, I guess it's just not really what I'm looking for right now. I mean, you know, like, I say like that, you know, I've outgrown shonen, but I mean, that last episode of Naruto Shippuden, or not last episode, but, you know, the final few episodes in the climax were amazing, and I wouldn't even consider myself typically a Naruto fan. What do you think? I know you're typically follow a lot more shonen, you know, I know you love One Piece, that you were big Naruto fan as well.
Yeah, I like shonen anime a lot. I like all of the Shonen Jump shows and manga a lot. Like, I read Shonen Jump manga.
Is Eld Live a Shonen Jump?
I believe so. Yeah, yeah, because I found out about it on the Shonen Jump app on iPad, so it'd have to be. So far, I'm not, like, completely captured by the anime, but I'm definitely interested enough that I'll keep watching it to see if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, something interesting is that I was like, oh, this seems like it could be a big franchise in the West, but then there's like lots of, at least the first episode has lots of boobage, so something that I don't know could be Yo-Kai Watched or Pokemon, like on a Disney XD. I mean, maybe that's just a exception for the first episode, but it'll be interesting to see, because it was like very fan servicey big boobs for that character. It was like, no, you know, not very hentai otherwise, but yeah, just kind of not my thing right now, but I'll be interested interested to see how it develops, because there's lots of cute little alien critters, so it seems like it could definitely have that mass media appeal, so we'll see. The next three are ones that I checked out. I don't believe that you had seen them, Captain Spike.
You know, I tried to watch Saga of Tanya the Evil, and I actually just shut it off.
Oh, really? So, yeah. Saga of Tanya the Evil is an alternate universe World War One where there are battle mages, and there's a military captain, or I don't know what her exact rank is, who is Tanya, and she is kind of sadistic. So it's kind of serious, alternate universe historical thing. I feel like kind of trying to tap into somewhat of like a Full Metal Alchemist sort of thing, because, you know, Full Metal Alchemist, I mean, I guess that for me is the easiest comparison, because Full Metal Alchemist, I guess I really shouldn't go too much further in case people have not seen that, but if you've seen Full Metal Alchemist all the way through, you know what I mean. It's definitely one that had a lot of buzz, a lot of positive reception. Personally, just not what I'm looking for right now. Nyanko Days is a short form anime that potentially could have, gotten better over the past few weeks. The first episode that I watched basically had there's a girl who she's like, oh, I'm at school, I'm really awkward. And then she goes home and she sees her cats who are personified as, cat girls. And that was it. There was literally nothing that happened.
Yeah, I did not watch this. I was waiting on word from you, like, should I jump in and dive in on this one? And what you had to say about it, it was just like, yeah, I think my time would be better spent otherwise.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like nothing really happened. I mean, it's apparently based on a four-panel comic, Yonkoma, is that right? Is that what they call it?
Yonkoma,
yeah. So, apparently it's really popular. It's potentially cute. I might just because it's only 2-3 minutes, I might give it another try. Just because the first episode, like, literally nothing happened, I was like, oh. But apparently the kittens have cute personalities. And, like, the Russian blues apparently kind of, like, reserved. And
aww.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at 2-3 minutes a pop, you know,
well,
I might.
That does make me want to watch it.
Yeah, it's just the first episode, literally nothing happens. She goes home and she's like, oh, my kitties. And that's it. The last one I wanted to mention is one that I checked out just out of curiosity. It's called Forest Fairy 5, and it's like, I don't even know. Like, there was some bullshit about, like, anime chans live in the anime forest, and they're here to be kawaii for you. Like, that's, like, what the description was or whatever. It is really bad CG with the quality of the voice work. Sounds like it was done over a bad Skype connection. I don't know if it's meant for kids or, I mean, but, like, even if it's meant for kids, it's just, like, total trash. Like, no, like I don't think it's meant, like, ironically either. It's terrible. So that is, like, my highly unrecommended anime. The other four, I would say, you know, are maybe worth another chance. Forest Fairy 5 is complete crap. Watch it ends up being super subversive and, like, genre defying.
Yeah, I have yet to hear anyone say a single good thing about it, but I'm willing to be surprised.
Yeah, like, Crunchy, like, has, like, average of, like, half a star, I think. But yeah, all of these can be seen on Crunchyroll. The only thing today that you cannot find on Crunchyroll is Little Witch Academia, because Netflix has the exclusive rights to stream it, and they're not doing that until they have a batch of episodes. So, that being said, how do you feel about this season of anime so far?
I'm very positive toward this season. There are four shows this season that I'm like, I'm pretty sure these are going somewhere and I'm digging them.
Yeah.
That is more than in previous seasons. So I'm stoked.
I feel the same way. And, you know, I've typically not been as, proactive about seeking out the new anime each season, but this really has me saying, like, you know, I feel like each season I'm really excited to see what's going to be new and potentially great, because I potentially have, you know, a couple new favorite shows that could be, you know, like Yuri on Ice last season was a big surprise that, you know, is now one of my all-time favorites. So, I mean, I could definitely see some of these having favorite status for sure, if they pan out as good as they seem. But I guess before we move on, are there any series that you've been interested in but just haven't gotten around to yet?
You know, nothing comes to mind, but I'm 100% sure the moment we're done recording, I'm gonna be like, son of a gun.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much anime out. Making the choices to watch what we did, we're kind of based on the initial buzz we'd heard, various recommendations from, like, Anime News Network and just kind of the community buzz on Crunchyroll and just word of mouth. So, definitely, if there's something out there that you feel is something that we should be watching, that's part of the reason we love talking to you. And with that, our Ask Mail was, this week we return with a preview of the winter 2017 anime season. Are there any new shows you are watching or want to watch? Over on our Twitter, we have Immuter69 saying, I'm excited for more episodes of March Comes Like a Lion and the return of Yalapeta and Blue Exorcist. Yeah, the Blue Exorcist has its new season finally after like years, right?
A couple years, yeah.
Like, I think it's like been like 7 or so, I think.
Has it been that many?
I don't know. It feels like it's been a while, but the original Blue Exorcist is one that I actually never got around to, have always intended to. I've heard really good things about the new season so far. March Comes In Like a Lion, another one that really sounds amazing that I need to go back and catch up on. So Miru69, great taste. Also saying that while working on the farm, it was so cold, but thanks to AnimeBui.org and Sequence Pod, I didn't notice my fingers were turning blue. Hugs. First of all, take care of yourself, but
yeah,
also
your poor hands.
Thank you for, we're glad that it helps the farm work maybe be a little less tedious or whatever, and thank you for tweeting your adorable kitten. Oh my god, I'm in love. With that, if you'd like to tweet at us, we always love to hear you talk about anime. It's talking about people talking with us about anime in 2017, we eat it up. So usually we would talk about what we're watching, but what we're watching is, unless, has there been anything else you've been watching besides the new anime lately?
Not so much.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like talking about what we're watching, we just kind of did.
Yeah.
And with that, we love your feedback. We love your subscriptions on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. We like your Facebook likes and effing love Twitter. We're over on animebui.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
Animebui.org with the .org spelled out D-O-T-O-R-G.
Our home base is animebui.org, and you can mail us at mailbui@gamebui.org. Oops, that's the wrong one. mailbui@animebui.org. But honestly, I mean, we both record both shows, so if you did drop it to gamebui.org, we would still read it.
So you can find our site at animebui.org. You can mail us at mailbui@animebui.org.
Captain Spike, where can we hear you and me, but then also one without me?
Well, so you can hear Slagkick and I over on gamebui.org.
Gamebui.org.
Your twice monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be.
We have such a blast.
If you're interested in the kinds of stuff we talk about on this show, you're probably also interested in the kind of stuff that we talk about over on the show that I do along with Shane Olenko. That is the Ranger Pride Cast, where we talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai series, upon which it's based, coming out of Japan.
And
we're obviously big fans of Japanese culture over there. We talk a lot about Super Sentai, some of the other tokusatsu shows. Definitely have a really good time, and we're looking forward to this week talking about the new season of Power Rangers, which actually started today.
And thanks to Ranger Pride, I realized that I am now a toku and Power Rangers fan.
Yes!
Did I tell you about that?
About what?
About how I realized I'm a fan.
How did you realize you were a fan?
Well, maybe I should tell you off air because we want to wrap this up here.
No, you should tell me right now.
Okay, so I didn't realize that the new Blue Ranger is played by the brother of the outgoing Blue Ranger, Coda.
Yeah.
And so when I found that out, I wanted to see what the other cast looked like because I haven't really been following Ninja Steel stuff super close or whatever because, I still, for Power Rangers, I would say I wasn't as interested. And then so I saw the video clip from Power Morphicon where they Dino Supercharge cast is introducing the Ninja Steel cast. And when when Yoshi Sudarso, is that Sudarso? Am I saying
yep,
it right?
Sudarso.
When he, because apparently they didn't know who the cast was. It was kept very secret. So he didn't even know that his brother had auditioned. And so when they had him announce his brother's casting, he like breaks down. And when his brother comes up, they're hugging. And like, I was like sobbing. I'm like, I didn't even think I was a Power Rangers fan, but I am sobbing over a cast reveal where his brother was so happy that he's now part of the Power Rangers family. So I'm starting to get it.
Yeah, it's good times. And you know, Shane was at Power Morphicon. I think he was at that panel.
He was because I DM'd him because I think you were out at dinner. I was like, Shane, I need to talk about Power Ranger feelings and no one else would understand. And he's like, no, people, we were all crying. Like we were all bawling there because it was such an emotional moment. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not a freak as much as I thought I was.
Oh, that's hilarious. But yeah, no, it was so heartwarming. I watched the videos online and I was so mad I couldn't have been there, but man, just so incredible. And it really shows just how much heart that the shows have behind the scenes and, you know, how passionate the fan base is for those shows.
Yeah, and I mean, I of course love Zyoger. I know I'm going to cry when it's over. And I think knowing how silly and fun and lighthearted Zyoger has been, it's kind of made me appreciate the cheesiness of Power Rangers. Like, I can appreciate it more knowing where it comes from on the Toku side. So I should probably come back and guest on Ranger Pride sometime if you have me.
Yeah, I definitely would.
Anyway, if you'd like to hear the two of us talking with Trainer Salker about Pokemon, we have a podcast called the Same Type Attack Bonus Podcast, or Stabcast for short, over at stabcast.org. And that is your twice monthly look at the deeper worlds of Pokemon. We recently just finished up our look at Pokemon Sun and Moon. We look at the Sun and Moon anime and what's new in the trading card world. You know, we're unabashed Poke fans. We are grown men. We love anime, Power Rangers, Super Sentai, and Pokemon, and have no shame about it. And because we're also super gay, if you didn't realize that, with me lusting over the teacher from Interviews with Monster Girls.
Is it possible, do you think, to like listen to our shows and not realize that we're flamboyant homosexuals?
I don't know.
I like girls.
I'm curious.
I liked all the Pantsu and Fuka, dude. Okay, but Fuka actually is not super Pantsu, even though both episodes have Pantsu moments. Like,
that's funny, actually, because the whole time we're watching these shows and we're like trying to decide what is or is not going to be Pantsu and like predicting, and Fuka was the one that we were both like, okay, well, this is definitely not Pantsu. It's probably the only one that actually had like actual Pantsu jokes.
But it's tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, you can actually definitely see a lot of Pantsu of drag queens over on RuPaul's Drag Race. So we talk about that show on my podcast, Reading is Fundamental, with Spike, along with Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from Video Game Realness. And we're the podcast that serves tea and dishes on everything Drag Race, hunt tea. And, you know, we had some great drag queens like Kim Chi, very inspired by anime. So, you know, definitely some overlap there sometimes. Drag queens are kind of like walking anime characters in a way. That being said, the show is currently on hiatus as there is no currently airing season of Drag Race, but we expect a reveal from the goddess RuPaul herself coming, you know, sometime soon for season 9. I'm
hey,
very excited.
You know, if nothing else, the current season of Revealed is almost over. I bet that's when we're going to get our announcement.
Yeah, so please check us out. We have way too many podcasts. And if you like podcasts, definitely check out GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
We have a lot of gaming podcasts that we shout out there that you definitely should check out. But for the sake of keeping this shout out section short, which today I guess that's a crapshoot, right? But we want to keep it short here. So with that, thank you so much for tuning in. We are so excited to be back bringing you anime. We're going to be coming at you in a few weeks, just in time for Valentine's Day, probably, with one of the greatest love stories ever told, The Vision of Escaflowne. Definitely overdue here on Anime Buoy. Thank you so much for your support.
Key the Metal Idol is getting a re-release. We're going to do an episode
on it.
What?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, snap. So, you know, definitely excited. We got a lot of things in store for you. But until then, keep watching.
Keep watching.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And see you, Space Cowboy.
Habatake. Mics are hot.
Hot mics, hot mics. Ready?
Yeah.
Do you need any links open?
Not, I already have them open.
Oh, I didn't mean like that in like a pedantic way. I just meant, do you need time to...
So it did come off that way. And also, I'm ready.
Well, here's a blooper.
All right.